You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined... Harrison, you're here. Look at that. You're a new man, kind of, sort of, now, right?
Yeah, I am I'm wrapping up my duties as managing editor of the Daily Titan, so I'm no longer in danger of flying scissors or having to deal with one particular staff writer who I'm not going to name, but I hope to never work with again. And, yeah, so... Not too harsh.
Are you going to celebrate it with the day at the day spa? Should I plan ahead for that, or
I can leave again? Like, I don't have to do this podcast, you know.
You sounded like extremely Wisconsin there. I don't have to do this, you know. Anywho, today's show is going to be an interesting one. It's going to be a fun one because heading into it, Harrison and I disagree on a couple topics or a couple aspects of the conversation. So that always makes for some interesting audio. We're going to talk about Magic Johnson, talking about what the Lakers are looking to do this coming summer. And the way he's talking about it, I find it a little troublesome. So that's going to take up the bulk of this conversation. We're going to get into his actual quotes, which Harrison will provide. He found them originally on Spectrum Sportsnet and aggregated, and then I aggregated his aggregation. And so we're going to go back and forth on that, and then we're going to talk about the Lakers' options moving forward and whether or not they have changed given the performance of some of these guys, whether or not they should maybe alter course altogether and leave this this star-chasing attempt as a make that a thing of the past in the way that they have tried to over the last, you know, 5 years or so when they have opted to rebuild through youth. So a bunch of interesting stuff that we're going to get to. As always, make sure you're following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. More on that in a bit. Harrison, let's start by offering the context and what Magic said to Spectrum Sportsnet about what the Lakers are looking to do this summer.
Yeah, so would you aggregating my aggregation, like, what do we call that, human centipeding?
No, I'd rather not.
Because I got it from, I was the B, and I got it from Spectrum Sportsnet, and then you got it from me. So you're the C in the human centipede.
I'd like to think of it as like aggreception, you know, where
you're welcome for that visual. Anyway, so Magic's comments. He was talking about like the Lakers free agency and stuff like that, and he said, I feel really good about it. Now we have cap space for probably two max guys, but that's not to say we'll use both of them. We want to if we can, but we have a plan A and we have a plan B. Say we only get one of those guys, then we'll make a decision to not use the cap space. We can do that and save it for the class that's coming the next year, which, hey, that sounds familiar a little bit. And then he also said, we're not going to give money away just because we have the cap space. I'm not about that. If the guy can't really take our team to another level, and we see what Kyrie Irving has done for the Boston Celtics, put him with the young talent the Celtics have, and they've taken off. We feel the same thing can happen for the Lakers. If we get the right free agent, that guy can take our young talent to a whole nother level. And that sounds kind of familiar to me a little bit. And I also thought that it was interesting that they're admitting to this now, that they will kick the can down the road to the next free agency if they don't get anybody this year. And that's like, to me, that's the first time that I've heard them say that. And that was something that was kind of a common theme of the last regime. Like, we're just going to keep signing guys to one-year deals and keep this cap space, and eventually somebody's going to sign with us. And that's not to say this front office is the same. I feel like they've gone about a lot of different things in a lot of different ways, but you know, that's similar rhetoric in some ways. And I also think, I mean, the part that you really harped on, and that I'll let you get into as far as like the numbers aspect of it and like all the math that plays in here, because I feel like I've kind of lectured about that enough this year, but it's not like a foregone conclusion that they just, like, it's not just an easy thing to where they can just say like, presto, we have two max cap slots. Like, that's just not, that's not the case right now. And there are some moves that they'll have to make that the case.
Honest question. Do you think Magic is operating as if they're just going to be able to get this cap space? Or do you think he just legitimately doesn't know that they don't have two spots?
Well, I think this is when you start to wonder if his whole salary cap 101 thing in New York City, when he went to the NBA and he said, you know, we're going to learn about the cap, we're going to go talk to the experts, paid off. But no, I mean, like, in all seriousness, Pelinka is a guy that very, very much understands the cap. I'm sure that he has briefed Magic on exactly what they have to do to get X amount of money. And I think Magic knows. I think he knows. And I think he assumes, and I think the Lakers probably assume, that they can make that happen. And they can, but it's not going to be totally painless. And especially the way that Julius Randle has played, it's something that, you know, there are going to be some fans upset, especially if they don't get those max guys. Because if they don't, then not only did they get rid of Russell, but then they're also probably getting rid of the guy who's been arguably this team's best player this year. And if not best, then at least second best.
If, in fact, Magic doesn't...
Arguably.
If Magic doesn't know the actual cap situation right now, he'll have to go into hiring a new cap teacher, because the last one didn't do a particularly great job. Magic, if you're listening, you should try ZipRecruiter. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. Right now, Magic, if you're listening, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers and find out why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. All right, so back to the topic at hand. I'm not going to fire off all of the numbers here, right? I'm just gonna give a round estimate so that we don't need to get into the dollars and cents of it. Basically, the way the cap works, and a lot of people don't quite understand this because nobody talks about it this way, but max contracts are handed out via percentage of the tax. So you have guys who can make 35% of the cap. You guys can have guys who earn 30 and 25. Those are the three max slots that get handed out. And
it's based on years of experience.
And it's, yeah, and success in those years of experience, right? So LeBron, for example, is a 35% guy. I believe Paul George is a 30. And you look at like a Boogie Cousins, and I believe he's a 20. No, he might also be a 30. But right now, where the Lakers currently stand, if they just renounce their free agents, I believe they're at $49 million or so, which would mean that they have the opportunity to sign somebody for 35, but that would mean that they don't have the opportunity to sign a 25 or a 30, definitely, max level talent, right? So what they have to do is they have to open up another $10 or $15 million to have the opportunity to sign a 35% max guy and then have enough wiggle room to sign a 30 or a 25% max guy. And if that does take place, now you have to go and try to find mid-level guys, and you have to find minimum veterans who want to come over for the minimum, and you have to try to fill out your roster while maintaining the dynamic of paying guys like LeBron and Paul George or Boogie Cousins or whomever, whatever they think they deserve under this current cap salary. So all of that said, this is why when Magic says, yeah, we have enough room for two max guys, it's just, it's untrue. Or it's untrue to the way, in the way that most people think. Yes, you could, they could.
But they could get it. There's a clear path to getting it.
Yeah.
It's just not a painless path.
And I also think that it's worth pointing out that the Lakers do, I guess, technically have it. They could sign two 25% guys. The issue with that, though, is that that's not what people are thinking, right? Like right now, a lot of people are under the assumption that, yeah, we'll get LeBron, and LeBron will convince Paul George to come, and then maybe they'll have enough room to...
Maybe they'll both sign for the minimum, and then they can get a third guy.
Nerlens Noel wants to play with LeBron, and he'll sign for the minimum. Like
the weirdest superhero team up in history.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember when Magic Johnson was drafted by the Lakers, he said, I will not play for the Lakers unless Kurt Rambis eventually gets his way here.
And hey, it worked out. Nerlens Noel, come on down. You can be the Lakers' new Kurt Rambis. But no, I mean, hey, I wonder where that rumor might have started, that LeBron and Nerlens Noel want to play together. We should look into this, but I wonder if they have the same agent. Can we confirm? Oh,
yeah.
Yep, they do.
Look at. Huh. Well, look, man, his name isn't Poor Paul.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So let's really quickly, because we have gone over this before, let's really quickly talk about ways that the Lakers can clear up salary. From, we'll start at the top with the least painful way that they could offer up or clear up salary is to wait for the summer and stretch Luol Deng into existence, right? So,
into non-existence.
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on your perspective. Like the end of existence. If you're Eric Pincus believes that they could extend him and cut that salary even further in half.
I love that idea so much.
Yeah,
that's like the most crackpot thing that could I don't think that it could ever logistically happen. It would just be too awkward, but. I mean, man, that was brilliant. That's why Pincus is the best.
Yeah, yeah, in that respect. But I thought basically Pincus said that they could extend Luol Deng for the next 11 years, was it?
No. It's not for 11 years, but stretching him would make the cap hit 11 years. They could give him an extension and then stretch him, and it would reduce the annual cap hit.
Mm-hmm. It would cut it in half basically again, right? It would go
just insane enough to work.
Yeah. It's like a lot of these things in a vacuum, great idea. I just don't know if in practice it's possible. But basically, to get back to the point at hand, or the more realistic point at hand, the Lakers could stretch Luol Deng and turn his 2 years and $36 million into a 7-year $36 million hit. Which basically saves them, what is it, $11 million next year or this upcoming offseason in cap space?
Something like that.
And that would help at least open up room to where you have enough room to get to a 35% guy, and then with a little bit of wiggle room, a 25% guy.
Yeah, and then I think the next step after that is that they would have to kind of renounce Clarkson, or they would have to trade Clarkson. But
either trade Clarkson or renounce Randall.
Or both.
Well, I would probably start with I'm trying to go in order of least to most painful.
Yeah, so, I agree. So that's why Clarkson was up next for me.
And so you trade.
So as well as he's played, mm-hmm. I think the Lakers would move him in that scenario. And so I don't think that it would be that. Like, that's why when we talk about them having – that's why they talk about with such confidence that they can get two max slots, because I think they feel like they can pretty realistically do it.
100%. And you're right there. The only complication here is that because of cap dynamics and salary dynamics across the league, there aren't very many expiring deals out there that you could just swap – Jordan Clarkson with and even, you know, take on, say, a first round pick, a future first rounder, because I think at this point he's probably worth it. I would probably argue that at his rate and the way he's played this year, I think he's worth a late first round pick from some team. But the issue is, like I said, you have to take on no salary coming back in this upcoming offseason, and that's where it can get a little bit tricky. So this is how I framed it when Trevor was on the show and when I went on his show, was I said, basically, if you're looking for trade partners, go to just Google expiring contracts 2018 NBA, find those names there and see if you can plug them into the trade machine and make something work for both of those teams. And that's the birth of all Jordan Clarkson trades. It's just a matter of how creative the Lakers are willing to get and how willing NBA teams are to work with them and help them. Because really, if you're an NBA team out there, you're saying, all right, we're helping you. We're taking on Jordan Clarkson, yes, but we're also helping you land LeBron. And I don't think very many teams out there want to help the Lakers land LeBron and return the Lakers to that kind of legitimacy.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, it would have to be a team with like a personal grudge against the Cavs or something like that. I don't know. I mean, they're probably the Lakers would have to. Yeah, exactly. But the Lakers would have to also make it worth their while. Like, no team's going to do it just to screw the Cavs. And mm-hmm. So that's like the hard thing about finding a totally easy fit. But I think that it's something that they could do.
Yep.
And or they might have to give up an asset. And in which case, if LeBron is on the table and you know he's coming, then you give up that asset to move Clarkson's deal, or you give up that asset to move Dang's deal.
Mm-hmm. I also want to get to another dynamic that Magic and Pelinka will have to work on and with as they try to work these trades out with these other teams, and how Magic might be hampering their ability to do so with quotes like this. And we're going to get to that here in a second. So when Magic Johnson goes out there and he says that you and I are in agreement, that he's basically saying that they can get to two open max slots, right? That's what he's saying. I agree that I don't think there's a scenario here where Magic legitimately thinks they do have two max slots right
now. No, he's smarter than that. He knows that they don't. He just knows that they can get there.
Right. But when he says that kind of thing, not only we'll talk about the inter-team dynamic that can kind of get messed with a little bit with quotes like this. But when you're talking about the way other teams read this kind of thing, well, if I'm another NBA team and I'm saying to I'm hurting for young NBA talent, and I saw what Magic was willing to do to open up cap space last time, I'm gonna start negotiations with, all right, fine, we'll take on Luol Deng's contract, or we'll take on Jordan Clarkson's contract, but it's gonna cost you Larry Nance Jr. too. It's gonna cost you Larry Nance Jr. In Luol Deng's case, it's gonna cost you arguably Lonzo Ball, right, or Brandon Ingram, if all things are remaining equal between those two trades that we saw.
Yeah, well, but the Lakers wouldn't do that.
No, I don't think. No,
I mean, unless LeBron was like, I'm coming, make it happen. Then I don't think that they would do that. They wouldn't do that preemptively.
I want to have that. That's a conversation that we're gonna save for like the very, very end of this thing, is whether or not they should continue with this ideology. But would you agree though? Would you agree that Magic firing off a quote like this and being this transparent about what they're looking to do moving forward, would you say that might come back to bite them in the butt in these negotiations with trades, or am I overthinking that?
No, I think it definitely does, because these other teams, so it's twofold. These specific comments, I don't think harm that much, because it's been so transparent going into now mm-hmm. that's what they want to do. And so any team that's coming to make a deal with the Lakers is not going to be, unless it's like, I don't know, like the Kings, like, is not going to be naive about this. Like, they know exactly what the Lakers are trying to do and how desperate they are to get this star power. And so I almost think that that's a little bit why Magic made the tail end of the comments about, if we don't do it, then we'll just kick it forward cap space to next year, is almost an attempt to like hedge those comments and say, hey, you know, like, we aren't that desperate to move these guys, and so we don't need the salary this year, so you can't take advantage of us in a trade, is almost that how that came off to me. Or, and also to the fans, of like, you know, lowering expectations, like, hey, it's not a for sure thing that we're getting LeBron just because we signed KCP this year. And So I think it's partially that, but yeah, I mean, it definitely, all of this stuff makes it harder on them to move these guys because other teams know exactly what they're trying to do. They aren't stupid. They know that the Lakers want LeBron. And so they're going to, regardless of what Magic or Pelinka say from now until the trade deadline or from now until the offseason when they can make trades again, these teams are going to know that they really want to open up this cap space. And they're going to try and take them for a ride to get them to open it up. They're going to say, "How? Okay, you want cap space? Give us this. Give us that. Like, we are not going to help you for free."
I would agree that I think it's more of a cumulative effect than, like, this singular quote popping off. And now all of a sudden, GMs across the league are like, "Oh, see, now we can get him," right?
And Lakers want LeBron? What?
What? Who would have, who could have said that?
That would be crazy if they got, do you think he'd leave the Cavs again? Yeah, no GM is surprised by this.
No, and that's where I think, I would hope that Magic would maybe take a lesson from Mitch's book and never have started this narrative in the first place, right? Mitch could speak for an hour and never say anything, right? It was almost magical to watch. He would sit there and he'd just read whatever's in front of him. I'm here looking at Twitter. Well, here we are, man to man, talking about what we're looking to do moving forward. We have some options, and we have some options that are tougher than the other options, and some options are less hard than those options. But at the end of the day, it's good to have options. Well, way to go, Mitch. Thank you very much. That was a very good use of everybody's time. And yes, it got kind of boring for everybody listening, but those quotes served him really well because nobody really knew or nobody could really predict oftentimes what the Lakers were going to do. Now, yes, every time LeBron James became a free agent, the Lakers were always going to try to position themselves to have a stab at landing him. But Mitch was a lot less transparent, and I don't think Magic is capable of that kind of subtlety. I think he's just like, he's way too excitable. He's just I can't wait to sign LeBron. This is gonna be great. This is gonna be awesome. We basically have all the cap space. If you look at our cap book right now, we actually have 7 max cap spots. This is awesome. Rob, what? Why are you telling me that we can't do this?
No, I mean, honestly, I think Rob Pelinka would be his hype man in that case, even though he understands. Like, I think if Magic gets excited, I don't know that Rob Pelinka is not capable of, like, trying to take it up the next notch and telling us giving us, like, a biblical reference that it's similar to.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm going to, like Solomon, I'm going to separate both of these max cap slots into 2 max cap slots each, and then we have 4. And then whichever free agent steps forward and says, no, don't do that, that's the one that I know I want. Or like, give me these 2 max cap slots and like water and wine, I will, or water and, wait, was it, it was bread and wine? Loaves and fishes.
I don't know. Yes. I'm not biblical, so.
Yeah, well, loaves and fishes, he's going to make them into more max cap slots magically, Jesus.
More of that holy bread that was Kyle Kuzma, like that's just going to land on their lap somehow, so. Speaking of Kyle Kuzma, this kind of leads us to the next and maybe last aspect of this conversation, is whether the Lakers should continue with this strategy of star chasing now that, look, Ingram has done things this season that everybody knows I didn't predict. But just about even
I believe before the season you called him garbage trash that should never have even made the NBA and should probably spend time in the D League. Probably isn't good enough for the D League. I should probably just go back to college.
Yeah, I deleted those tweets, so therefore they don't exist.
I should just one day like go RT Armageddon you for like all your Randall and Ingram takes.
Well, that's the other guy, Julius Randall. His
well, and then also we can once you're done trashing Lonzo, once Lonzo Ball's good, we can do the same thing.
I'm not trashing Lonzo Ball, but anywho, Randall is the other guy, right? That like he all of a sudden. Again, I come back to this. I said this in yesterday's show, and I stand by it. There just aren't very many guys who, on back-to-back possessions or close to back-to-back possessions in the clutch of the game, could force Steph Curry into a tough shot and force Kevin Durant into a tough shot. I think both those guys missed those shots too, by the way, at the end of regulation of that Warriors-Lakers games a couple weeks back. And look, if you have that kind of commodity, then that is definitely not what you want to just send off as part of a cap-clearing attempt at getting LeBron. So, and we can go down the line. Kyle Kuzma has done things that maybe if he wasn't this kind of prospect, they could include him in a trade. And we know for a fact that Lonzo Ball isn't on the table for any of these negotiations. But if you're taking Randall off and you're taking Ingram off, then somebody of that ilk has to go back on in order to wipe this cap space clean. And my question is, now that they have shown this kind of promise, do you ride with the rebuild and roll with whatever they might turn into? Or do you stick with, look, we already traded D'Angelo Russell to open up cap space. We can't now alter course that completely.
I think like everything, it depends. And this is not like a hot take or a certain answer, but unlike you, I don't just like throw these things out there and then have them come back to bite me in the ass later. And so I think it's going to depend on this summer on what they're hearing going into free agency. On are they hearing that it's a really, really good chance that LeBron's coming? Do they have a really good meeting with LeBron and they start setting up plans for who else they're going to sign and they're going to get a package deal? Then I think at that point they start moving these guys. But I don't think that they start doing whatever they have to make that, like, you know, say LeBron and Paul George happen. That they just – you do that. But if – they aren't getting those results, then they aren't going to move these guys. I certainly don't think that they need to be moving these guys preemptively unless they can get something back that's really good for them. Randall has actually played well enough this year that maybe there's a chance that a team says, we'll give you an asset in order to be able to pay him this summer. I don't think that there's a high chance of that, but there's a chance. And so, like, maybe a move like that, you move him. But other than that, I think that you just ride this out, and then you can't make these decisions just because you traded D'Angelo Russell to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And you can't just say, okay, well, we did that, so we definitely can't have a youth movement now. If a youth movement is still the best option and you shot your shot and you missed, then you go with the youth movement. You don't actively harm your team in order to double down on a mistake, if that makes sense.
No, it absolutely makes sense. You don't. It's like when a referee makes a bad call and then they tee up the player when they get angry about the bad call. Like, there's...
Yep.
There are a few things.
You're just compounding your mistakes.
Exactly.
And so if the Lakers just said, like, okay, well, we traded D'Angelo Russell, so we can't do a youthful rebuild because people are going to laugh at us. So we need to make sure we need to trade Ingram in order to open up an extra couple million in cap space, like just to take a chance at one of these stars. Like, they can't do something like that, and they won't do something like that. But that's just like an extreme hypothetical example.
And the hypothetical that also keeps coming up, especially when we ask for questions, is, well, wait, why don't the Lakers just sign one guy? Why do they have to open up space for two guys?
I don't think that these guys are coming to just be the one guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's – and it's like we said earlier with that Eric Pincus's idea of stretching – extending and then stretching Deng even further into the future, is that, yes, and idealistically, awesome. That's a great idea. But in practice, not really. And the practicality of convincing, like, you have to go to Paul George. You have to go to his representation, and you have to say to him, all right, so you're currently playing on, I think they're fifth in the conference right now. You're currently playing on a legitimate playoff team, and Russell Westbrook is signed there for the foreseeable future. Carmelo Anthony can either re-up for one more year at this experiment, or if he doesn't re-up, and there's no chance in hell that he doesn't re-up, by the way, but if he doesn't re-up, now all of a sudden you can be a 1-2, a clear-cut 1-2 punch with Russell Westbrook. And when those guys have been on the court without Carmelo Anthony, it's been the basketball has looked a lot better. So the Lakers are going to be going to him and saying, all right, so you're in that situation right there. Well, what would you say about playing with Lonzo Ball and his 27% field goal percentage? What, how about Julius Randle took some steps forward defensively, and he's way better than we thought he was, but is there any way we could interest you in playing with him long term? Maybe Brook Lopez comes back. Maybe Kentavious Caldwell-Pope comes back. Look at how exciting this is compared to what you have in OKC. And And maybe he wants to be a Laker that badly. Maybe, but that's not a gamble that I, or that's not something that people would actually want to run with a prediction as, right? So
yeah, they're not, did you hear that Brook Lopez hit 174 threes 2 years ago? He's right. Stretch big man of the future.
Right. Well, and you can continue this. Like, you can go to Boogie Cousins. You can go to him and say, well, look, we know that you're playing with one of the best, if not the best, young big men the NBA has seen since Tim Duncan. How would you like to come play with maybe the 74th best big man since Tim Duncan and Julius Randle? Like, how good does that sound? But and click, you know. And so you need – that's why Magic keeps talking about two cap space and two max slots, is because he understands that this is how – the league operates nowadays. This is how
Magic of all people knows that it's nice to play with another really good player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, he started his career with Kareem. So, you know, like, he knows how great it is to have another Hall of Famer on your team.
Yeah. Breaking news, by the way, since we have to talk about this stuff, but apparently the other two Ball brothers have found a team that wants to take them on. So,
oh, for real? I didn't see it. Is that breaking as we're talking about this?
Literally broke right now. Woj just tweeted it out. So maybe LeVar can be across the Atlantic Ocean and stay over there.
Serious discussions with Lithuanian club Prienų Vytautas. I highly doubt I pronounced that correctly. But
super team!
Yeah, go on.
This is like we're talking about. These guys want to team up with each other.
Yeah, all superstars want to team up. Even... like, if you're a Lithuanian team and you have the cap space, then there you go.
Oh, man, I just saw a really good tweet. The big Baltic brand league.
Oh, my God.
That's a good one.
I'm ready for LeVar in Lithuania. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway,
so,
that took us way off track.
Back to this topic at hand. Yeah. I agree. Your take is boring. It's nuanced. Those two things usually go hand in hand, and I think it's all based on scenario. As the Lakers approach next offseason, they have to be sending out feelers. It's tampering, yes, but that's what happens all throughout the league. But as we approach that offseason, the Lakers have to be finding out, all right, what are Paul George's necessities? What is he absolutely insistent upon in the situation that he would leave Oklahoma City for?
Aside from Instagram models.
Yeah, if it's anything beyond Instagram models, then the Lakers would probably have to open up a little bit more cap space.
Maybe it's super team with Nerlens Noel.
Everybody wants to play with Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, the most beloved teammate in NBA history.
He's crapped on two different situations. Yeah, let's get that guy.
I mean, he has had a really unlucky career as far as situations go.
Yeah, but I also
and he got
find
some bad
it,
advice from his agent last summer.
I find it.
Which is why he fired his agent and hired Rich Paul.
I find it really funny, though, that the same people who are willing to say that the Lakers made the right move getting off of D'Angelo Russell and sending him to Brooklyn because of chemistry issues are like, wow, look, Nerlens Noel.
Has his thing been a chemistry? I mean, I think that he's just kind of run into some bad situation. We don't have to litigate Nerlens.
No, I mean that I have friends who, you and I both have friends who write about and cover the Mavericks, and they both said that it's kind of iffy there, that he isn't.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely iffy. I just don't, I think they're for reasons somewhat out of his control.
Just like Russell.
Yeah.
All right,
we wrapping this up with your hypothetical?
I'm trying to. So,
okay.
Before the season, I thought to myself, I thought that the Lakers were pot committed after they moved Russell, after they traded Russell, and they did so to shed Timofey Mozgov's contract. And don't tell me about Brook Lopez, like he hasn't been good, or what. People envisioned when they traded for Brook Lopez.
He's been okay. He hasn't been what people envisioned. Like, he's been almost better defensively than offensively.
It's like this weirdest trend with this team. And then I don't want to hear about how they got Kyle Kuzma in the trade, because they could have taken Kyle Kuzma the pick after they wound up getting him at.
Yeah, the Nets have literally said that Kuzma was not the guy they would have picked.
Yeah. So,
like, on the record.
So it's not quite intellectually honest that people are running with that type of analysis still after.
But it does
make
the Lakers look a whole lot smarter.
So yes, I mean, at the time I thought to myself that the Lakers are pot committed, and at this point, if they don't wind up with two bona fide superstars this upcoming offseason, that trade would be a unmitigated failure, and that this front office would be starting about as poorly as a new front office can start. But now that we have seen the legitimate development of Julius Randle, of Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma falls out of the sky. Jordan Clarkson has been better than people
literally. I think Kyle Kuzma may have come from heaven.
I honestly, I haven't seen any facts to say that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, in essence, what I'm saying is, because of the way things have played out thus far, our analysis has to evolve of that prior D'Angelo Russell trade. That's not to say that it wasn't bad at the time and that it might not remain bad if the Lakers don't walk away with two superstars. But when it really becomes disastrous is if they double down on a bad move and they move a Julius Randle before they have to, they move a Jordan Clarkson before they have to, they move a Larry Nance Jr., a first-round pick, and Luol Deng before they have to, in order to make this two max thing, max player team building exercise. If they double down on that trade and that doesn't work out, that's when you're looking at ruining the franchise for the foreseeable future until they go through yet another rebuilding process centered on youth.
I don't know how to cover anything else at this point, so that's fine.
I feel like your response was what most people are doing in their car right there. It's just like, oh man, if that actually plays out like that, then I might have to be a Nets fan.
It would be so weird to cover like a good Lakers team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's already getting weird.
That's not me saying I'm rooting against that. It would just be weird.
It's already
weird. It would be so different, like as far as the way that we would be imagine talking about wins and losses like they mattered again.
It now, given he is saying that the Ball brothers might be playing for free. Well, that's fun. But yeah, I mean, it's already weird. The Lakers are getting ready. By the time everybody is listening to this show, the Lakers are about to play the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. And that's another game this season where I kind of sort of expect the Lakers to at least compete to the very end and frankly win. I kind of like their team better than the Knicks team, despite the differences in record. But we're getting towards that point, and it would be kind of too bad if that progress that we've seen this year was kind of crapped away in the off chance that they have a chance at landing LeBron.
Yeah, and like I said before, I don't think they're going to do any of that preemptively.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not that – if I were a fan, I would not be that worried about that.
Yeah. All right. That does it, though. This was kind of a wandering, especially the last segment here, was kind of a wandering. We got all the way to Lithuania.
I thought you wanted to debate Julius Randle versus Lonzo Ball.
Oh. I mean, we're 39 minutes in. Well, no, we had a little break here. All right, let's quickly then.
We need to do this because you threw this out on Twitter and people are destroying you. And I feel like you need to explain your reasoning a little bit. And I feel like – so you said that you would trade Lonzo Ball before you traded Julius Randle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not by much. Like, I think it'd be a really tough decision. And that was the point I was trying to make, was that...
See, that's the thing, is for me, that's not a tough decision at all. You don't trade Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball is going to be really, really good. And I say this, like, I just want to give context on how good Randle has been this year. Of the Lakers to actually, like, play significant minutes, he has the best net rating on the team, plus 1.7. The Lakers are never worse than when Randle is on the bench. They're outscored by 6.4 points per 100 possessions when Randle's on the bench. So they're never worse than when he's on the bench. They're never better than when he's on the floor. And of their four lineups to play more than 50 minutes, so like they're really like their only high usage lineups, the only one with a positive net rating is the one with Randle at center and then playing with Kuzma, Ingram, Caldwell Pope, and Ball, which has outscored opponents by 28.1 points per 100 possessions. So like Randle has been unbelievable. He's been incredible on both ends. Like great stuff, great growth. This is exactly the type of thing that I think people were seeing as far as his potential when we were all calling you an idiot before for valuing Nance over him. And so, like, that's – I'm not – when I say that I would not hesitate to trade Randle before I traded Ball, it's not because he's not talented. It's just because I think that Ball is going to be so good once he goes through this, like, second-year Ingram-type growth trajectory, because really the only thing that he has to do is figure out how to score just a little bit, because right now he's a great passer, he's a great rebounder, he's a great fast break runner, he's a pretty good defender as a rookie, which we all know is like players never get worse like at defense than they are when they're rookies, or almost never. He's just going to get better, and he's so good at so many things that it's hard for me to not see him figuring out the scoring just a little bit. He doesn't ever have to be like a 20 point per game scorer, but if he can get like just double digits consistently.
Well, just good enough, like, that teams don't have to laugh. Like, don't laugh every time he shoots it.
Exactly, or that like fans and Staples don't hold their breath every single time he's open. Mm-hmm. Like, if he just gets to that level, he's going to be so freaking good that I would still not hesitate to move Randle before I move Ball. And that's without even mentioning, like, even if their contracts were the same, I would not do that. But there aren't. And the Lakers are going to have to pay up for Randle this summer if they want to keep him, most likely, or at least pay him significantly more. And Ball is on a bargain bin contract and is only going to get better. Like, we don't know that Randle is going to improve beyond this. He probably will, but we don't know.
The other thing, too, is I don't think Lonzo's trade value will ever be lower than it is right now.
That's true, too. And it's not like Randle's trade value is super high either, but you're right.
But that's mostly because of the contract thing. The other one, I mean, it was a group of three guys, and I'll make the case for Randle, and then we'll talk about Ingram. Because Ingram, I would rather trade Lonzo than trade Ingram at this point, which is crazy. It's insane, but that's what
you're
we've
crazy.
Seen from.
Yeah, you like literally you are crazy.
We'll get to Ingram here in a second, but if you talk to people who watch the Warriors closely, their most important player isn't Steph, it isn't KD. The most important player that they have on their roster that really allows them to be the team that they are is Draymond Green.
And I agree.
And it's because of what he can do on the defensive end, in that he can guard and legitimately guard players 1 through 4.
Although
one
I will
through
five. Say, I do want to add Kevin Durant's growth as a defender has made that less critical than it was.
Yeah, I think that's,
it's still like
fair.
It's an embarrassment of riches to have Green too, mm-hmm. but it's less important than it was before they had Durant, which is like obvious, but it's worth saying.
Mm-hmm. And so the reason I bring up Draymond Green is, look, if Randle can become that type of defender, that allows the Lakers to have that kind of death squad lineup, right? That allows them to play it in a style of play that if – and also the timelines match up a little bit better. If LeBron comes to the Lakers, I don't know if you want to wait 2 more years while Lonzo Ball develops into whatever you think he might.
Lonzo Ball would be made so much better by playing alongside LeBron.
Yeah,
just having
maybe.
Another guy that could create shots
but
would
wouldn't,
be so huge for him.
But wouldn't that be – everybody?
yeah, I agree, but like you're saying it like Lonzo's going to take 2 years to become useful and like it's the same timeline if
no,
he's
I'm
playing
saying
alongside
if. I'm
LeBron.
Saying if.
It's not. Like he's going to more rapidly accelerate if he's playing alongside a guy like LeBron.
But I think Randle is already at a place where if LeBron comes, Randle can be on the floor alongside that kind of in
yeah,
that kind of
true.
Environment right
that's
now.
Fair.
And so like that timeline matters to me. And look, again, I'm not saying that this is like an easy call for me. It would legitimately suck if it came down to, and I don't think it will, by the way. Like it's also important to point this out that
the Lakers would never trade either of those trade Lonzo before any of those guys.
I don't know if that's true with Ingram.
Pretty sure Magic would sacrifice his firstborn for Lonzo. No offense. All due respect to whoever Magic's firstborn child is.
I would say though, like, all right. So wait, you would keep Lonzo over Ingram too?
Yes.
You're insane. You're a crazy
no,
person.
I don't think so.
You're
Ingram has been
person.
Very good. Ingram has been very good. This is not me crapping on Ingram. Like Randle, I believe that he's been very good, very useful to the Lakers. He's going to be a great player. I just think Lonzo's going to be better. I still believe in Lonzo. I have not changed my mind just because we've seen him struggle in the NBA a little bit.
It's not me changing my mind on Lonzo. I just think I've always thought to myself that if Ingram becomes a superstar, the most important player on any of these teams, the most important position in the NBA right now is the small forward, especially a small forward who can slide down to the four and up to the two. If you have that kind of player, look at the last few titles. They've either featured LeBron or Kevin Durant, before that it was Andre Iguodala, who was tasked with guarding LeBron. Like, having a small forward, an elite small forward, is again a commodity, not unlike the way I was talking about Julius Randle, that you can't just trade that guy away. And if he's doing this in his second year, like, nobody gets this much better from year one to year two. And if this becomes, I don't think he's going to maintain this trajectory of improvement, because he would immediately become like Giannis in year four. But
I'm not saying he's Giannis, but they're per 36 from where they're like first and second years.
It's interesting. I think it's,
yeah,
I
don't, it's interesting.
I don't want to go that far off into that.
I'm just saying
craziness, but yeah, it's interesting. And so, yeah, I look, again, this isn't an easy decision, and it's not one that I think the Lakers will eventually make anyway, unless LeBron comes and says, hey, can you send either Lonzo, Randle, or Ingram to wherever so that we can land this version of Kevin Love, right? Just like I'm sure Cavs fans were thinking to themselves, wait, there's no way LeBron would trade Wiggins, right? Remember how Bill Simmons was mocked because he pointed out that Wiggins wasn't a part of that letter to Cleveland? And then all of a sudden, Wiggins was
in. We heard Wiggins was in the package to Minnesota.
He was a Wolf, right? And so, if it comes down to that, man, and LeBron,
I don't think he's going to say move Lonzo. I think he's going to say move LeVar.
Yeah, that would be great. That would end the internet. Look, Lonzo, you can stick around, but your dad has got to go. Just make sure he focuses on your Lithuanian brothers. Like, just stay over there.
They're Lithuanian now. Yes, they are not. They are no longer American. They are now Lithuanian citizens.
How long until LeVar is like, I am LeVarwanian.
No, that was
Lithuanian.
Stop.
All right, I'll stop now. All right, make the case then for Lonzo over Ingram now, because Ingram to me was the easy one compared to Randle. Randle's tougher because we don't know if this is what Randle is going to be, because it's a contract year, right? We don't know if he's like this, the new Trevor Ariza. We don't know that.
I guess my thing with that is, we don't know that Lonzo is going to improve. I don't want to if I said we don't know how much more Ingram's going to improve, but then like didn't acknowledge that we don't know how much more Lonzo is going to improve, I would be being disingenuous. Mm-hmm. But I have faith in the pre-draft analysis on Lonzo. I have faith in what I've seen so far and how many things he does well. I have faith in the way that he changes a team style of play. Like guys like Ingram, I don't know where Ingram's going to top out. He might top out as like, you know, top 10 player in the league or something like that if he continues to grow at this pace. But we don't know that. And so if he ends up just being like kind of what he is now, like a pretty good scorer, like a pretty good defender, and he just doesn't really get that much better. He'll get better because he's in his second year, but he doesn't get that much better. I just think that a player like Lonzo that can completely change the way that you play and just dictate so many things about your franchise in a positive way is more valuable. And that's, again, I don't say that as somebody who's like an Ingram hater or something like that. Like, I think Ingram's going to be good. I just think Lonzo will be better, and I think Lonzo will be more important. And I just want to end this with hashtag Lonzo effect.
You just want Lonzo around because he's better for SEO. I want
you got me.
I want to really quickly then make one last point here.
You want the last word? I never would have guessed.
No, I mean you could retort to this if you want, but we've seen Ingram improve. You're saying what if Ingram doesn't improve? But we've seen him improve.
I'm saying what if he doesn't get that much better? Like, what if he tops out as like, but this isn't like this isn't a good comparison because they aren't the same type of player, but like Rudy Gay level, like where he's like pretty good. He's like one of the better. He's like an upper half small forward in the league. Mm-hmm. But I just think Lonzo can be better than that and more valuable. And again, that's not like I don't think Ingram.
But
not
like
really,
I don't think it's quite fair to say, well, all right, well, what if Ingram is just a meh? Like if he reaches his meh talent level and say, well, what if Lonzo becomes a Greek god? Oh wait, we have Kuzma. What if Lonzo becomes? What if Lonzo becomes Jason Kidd with a jumper?
Yeah, no,
earlier
Lonzo could top out there too. Lonzo, he absolutely could. I just have more. I from what I've seen from Lonzo as a rookie, I have more faith.
Yeah,
I'm a big believer brand.
I think it's a tough question, and frankly, make your case in our iTunes reviews for either Lonzo or Ingram or Randall, or list those guys and the best analysis that we get. I'll give you guys a shout out on the next show if you throw that in there on the iTunes review with a 5-star iTunes review, because this is kind of a controversial topic.
I am shocked that it's so controversial. Ball has really fallen.
Well, no, it's Ingram has risen.
The ball has dropped.
Oh, all right. We'll let it go on the puberty joke.
So we've done human centipede and puberty this podcast. So
this was we're
explaining how all of your body systems work here at Locked On Lakers.
Next week we talk. No.
No. Stop.
All right. So this was a fun podcast. This is a longer one. We didn't anticipate this would be as long as it went. But it's a topic that is going to be something that I'm sure we'll come back to, especially as we get past this December 15th deadline, or not deadline, but important date, as we approach the trade deadline, as we approach next offseason. I'm sure these are things that we are going to continue to reanalyze and microanalyze and all that good stuff. So if you enjoyed this, make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Find the show on Megaphone/Panoply. Find it on TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Today's show was brought to you by ZipRecruiter. To try it for free, Magic, if you're still listening, go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. Again, that is ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers to try it out for free. We'll talk to you again mañana.